Hi, everybody. I feel like I have to talk all the way here. Can we turn down a little bit? Just turn it down a little bit so there's no echo. Do you know how to turn it down? Well, so welcome to the afternoon of literary drag. And what the fuck is literary drag? And who came up with that name? Nobody knows. I still don't know. So this is what we're here to explore a little bit, and I'm so excited to be doing it alongside this other amazing, amazing queen. And so the way that it's going to go today, I'm going to do a performance. Fornika's going to do a performance. We're going to have a conversation around literary drag, and then we're going to open it up for questions, and then we're just going to kiki for a little bit. That sound good? So just the only thing that I want you to like think about is like, what have you learned from drag queens that you can incorporate into your life? Just have that in the back of your head as I'm reading this. So is anybody really happy today? Okay. I'm about to kill your joy. This piece is called Assigned Sad at Birth. Uno, the birth of female sadness. The year is 1945. The place is Cartagena de Indias. The view is my granny Alba Corina de Jesus Juan in full Colombian sad girl in a braid realness, smoking out of a bathroom mirror, about to go all apocalypsis on everybody and throw herself like a pajarito into the insane afternoon heat. Boom! And be caught by God before ruining that muñeca face and join the holy party where she didn't have to fuck any dude or wear a fake mall or clean anybody's underwear. She was done and sad. All she wanted to do was chill in the clouds and listen to her radio novela in peace, no joda. Porque if the Virgin rose to Papi Dios, why couldn't she do the same? What was so special about the Virgen Maria? My grandma too wore skirts. She too was a virgin. She too lived in a dusty ass town overrun by goats and stupid men. And she too will happily get miraculously pregnant by some old dude she didn't know and birth the world's savior to their afterbirths, live forever in bathrooms as an air freshener candle, watching the world evade her existence while the world's most famous sugar daddy serves as her official sponsor. Imagine the life. But why couldn't she be like the Virgin? Oh, the anger. Oh, the sadness. Oh, the impotence she felt. The Virgen Maria had millions of followers and she had none. But then again, the Virgen bled from her eyes, her face appeared in toasted bread and coffee cups. What could Alba do? This is the end, she thought. Girlfriend holds her naguas and looks down. Dos. And so it happened that at the turn of the century, a white guy by the last name of Lunsford thought himself so smart, thought himself so brave, he bought a pharmacy in California and created a line of Bic's vapor rub from which the magical germ spread of Latin American matriarchs was born. Who here recognizes this? Everybody else, your grandmothers hated you. Oh. Sad but true. What Mr. Lunsford didn't know is that a couple of decades later, Alba Corina de Jesus Juan, now my granny matriarca and the head bitch of all things sad, will appropriate Big's vapor up and turn it into Big Vaporu, thus creating the first rub and go antidote to eternally dying. Many things in my hand. Alba walked around the house with doors locked in her waist as ammunition. These, she would say, is sent straight from God. These comes the sadness. Ay, mija, the extreme sadness. She wore a Hello Kitty watch the beep every 2 hours, reminded her to stop whatever homegirl was doing and inhale the power of immortality. As a kid, I watched her in her rocking chair from the living room. She would go cooking, yelling at the crucifix, cooking the arroz con pollo. So I ask her, Where does it hurt?
Acá, she says.
Your chest?
No.
Your lungs? No. Entonces?
El alma, carajo. What's hurting is my soul.
Pero por qué? And every day this. Until one day when I was about 4 or 5, she finally looked at me and said, ¿Qué haces ahí staring at me all the time? I smiled. I was dying to be part of her ritual, dying to be part of all things sad. I too wanted to have a hurting soul. I too wanted to be buried in female sadness, soaked in it with crucifixes and Kleenex around me. I wanted to be locked in the bathroom for hours, whispering on the telephone. I too wanted to walk around with my head on a scrunchie, sighing deeply while whispering to God. Pulling out the big vaporum, she asked, You want some, Mimi? I nodded, of course. She said, Close your eyes, what do you see? Like I've been taught at school, I said, I see God, Mimi.
Juliana, carajo, no me jodas that I have to finish cooking the rice.
She said, Think of all the sadness in the world. Concentrate on the pain. Think of how much Christ has suffered, she would sigh. Think of how much I have suffered. Think of how much your mother has suffered. I wore blue jeans and a black t-shirt that she had embroidered with a gold cross on the Holy Spirit. She held my hand tight, asking me to breathe and sigh. Sigh harder, I did, harder. We held hands until there was water. What do you see? What do you see? Visualize the pain. Visualize the sadness. I was 5, so I thought about all the dead stray dogs around the city. I saw my mom crying, Jesucristo bleeding for my sins. I saw the priest holding the body of Christ. I saw all my tías around the dining table in their underwear complaining about the world and crying and smoking and crying and smoking. I thought about the dead people from the news, the dead people around us, and I tried to visualize and receive all the sadness in the world in my heart. I opened up my 5-year-old heart to God and all the pain. I told God, let me have all the pain so Mimi can be proud of me. A ver, she said, opening my dry eyes, but there was nothing there. No, 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 no. You're not ready yet. You have to feel it. Aquí, aquí. 3. During our lifetime, my grandmother and I died many times, sometimes together, sometimes separately. My grandma became the world's most famous sad third world granny and was featured in Al Rojo Vivo, Cristina, and Don Francisco, and Jet Set, among others. Oprah once called her, but she said, no English, no English, no me jodan. Gringos visit her many times at her house in Colombia, trying to experience some of Latin America's best juju, trying to steal her sadness, make it their own. They came from faraway places and bought her gifts, threw her money. They would line outside her house, but she didn't even blink or open the door. Saw them begging from the window and annoyed said, Acá no hablamos inglés, gringuito, sorry, y por favor no me ensucie la entrada. In my 3 words of English, I translated for them, yelling from the window, Que si please do not dirty my abuela's entrance, que si please gringo de mierda, go gringo de mierda, go. 4. In a survey conducted by the League of the Saddest Colombian Women in the World, the trendsetter for world sadness, 60% of women responded extremely sad and kept a picture of Britney Spears with her head shaved. 40% responded considerably sad to a picture of the Virgen in bloody tears, but only 30% kept it. 70% said Christ in a crucifix is both really hot and also terribly depressing, which is why he's on everyone's bathroom. 97% of them admitted to being addicted to Big Vaporú. 80% of them admitted to being addicted to staring at a window. 90% of them admitted the bathroom is their favorite sad place. 100% of them said they do not want the sadness to go away. 5. Some women in my family didn't care for Big Vaporú. Las rebeldes, carajo. Some of them were hardcore sad girls, tristes, tristongas. Hardcore sad girls that didn't want any relief, or at least not the relief offered by the powers of Mimi's Vaporú. Hardcore sad girls die more often, death dropping, bam, in the middle of the cafecito like it's nobody's business. These hardcore sad girls reach another dimension of Colombian goth, Colombian emo, and there was no way of getting them back. A sadness so deep, they were beyond crucifixes and Kleenex. They were Kleenex. They didn't have any water left in them. You barely saw tears. You barely saw them sighing. Their sadness already a second skin. And if you came close, if you touched her arm, immediately a little cancioncita para llorar came on. Their skin carried its own sad background music. And you may think of yourself, oh, we got saw girls in the States. And you may think to yourself, Lana Del Rey is a pretty sad bitch, but Lana Del Rey has nothing on my tías. Tia T was my absolute favorite. La mera mera diosa del tristeo, del ven nos morimos juntas, del esta vida es una mierda. Y aquí, my girl, aquí vinimos a sufrir. We came to suffer deeply, publicly, and with glam. We came to rub this face on your face. She didn't care for Mimi's big baporud, call it la mierda esa. You smell like a priestess asshole, she would say to me, get that shit off. She could get away with so much because her sadness had no boundaries, permeated every space it came into. It was liquefied. Homegirl bled her sadness into every tiny room in Mimi's house. She was a gigantic goth queen staring down at the common people as we all drown in her, I'm not feeling well today. Boom! The other couldn't have children, couldn't get it together, had too many husbands, didn't feel like cleaning the house with Fabuloso. Quit every job because people just didn't get her. She felt over and over again of being a woman. Her head hurt, her eyes hurt, her legs hurt. Her soul was in constant excruciating pain. Unlike some of the women in my family whose power came from motherhood, Tia T's power was in the gasolina she carried inside, waiting to explode at every second. Tia T está loca, the women would say. Ay, pobrecita, está cucu, está crazy, está que nadie se la aguanta. And ella, smoking a cigarette by the window, waiting for the right time to go all Yolanda Saldivar on everybody's ass. Do you guys know who Yolanda Saldivar is? She kills Selena. Do you know who Selena is? Oh, that's right. Tráeme la pasta, she would say. Tráeme those pills. She had big, curly, perfected, frizzy hair, cigarette always on hand, trembling eyelashes batting slowly, burning you down. Everyone in the family respected, feared, and talked behind her back. I, on the other hand, I loved her. I fantasized about it. I wanted to be like Tia T. I fantasized about it. Every night before going to sleep, I asked Diosito to stop making me in his image and start building me up like the saddest bitch I was supposed to be. My dream as a 10-year-old kid was to be exactly like Tia T. Tia T seemed to just float in a triste cloud. Her responsibilities included taking lithium, dying, staring at a window, yelling at bitches at work, making men fall from her, throw money at her, then leave. Leave them broken. She didn't need Big Baporu. I wanted that life so bad. Says, the Olympics of Sadness. The Olympics of Sadness is not a game. It's the articulation of our intimacies. It's how we get dibs on blowing the fuck up. You cannot blow the fuck up if you haven't earned it. Nobody will console you. Some women get to blow the fuck up constantly because they have worked their sad asses off for decades. And when they enter a room, everybody goes, ay, pobrecita. When they enter a room, the energy is pulverized, transforming to trauma ghosts sashaying up and down. Ghosts that visit and stay, enjoy the cafecito with us. A very smart woman, my grandmother, once said to me every day for 23 years, life is hard. Life is suffering. Female sadness is both ethereal and immutable. It shuts down time. It repeats itself. It is unbothered by the progression of linear time. It is suspended, forever present, forever shady, forever deep within us. Siete, where are all the homeboys at, you ask? Men don't suffer from sadness. They have everything. They don't need feelings. Eight. Mimi used to say, si te duele, échale vaporú, but you have to be ready. She used to say, si te sientas feo, roba el vaporú, así. She said, show me that sad face, mueche a ver. Sometimes when I was dying, I would run into her room and announce my death. Mimi, me estoy muriendo. I'm dying. At first, she wouldn't say anything. She nodded to herself, then turned around slowly. Girlfriend sat on her desk writing detailed letters to God. She would turn around slowly without looking at me, bother a little that had interrupted her writing flow. Ven pa'ca, She said, lightly tapping the bed with her hand. Her glasses hung from a fake pearl beaded chain that I had bought with her at the dollar store. A ver, she said, what's going on here? I'm dying, Mimi, I would say. A ver, where does it hurt? She placed a hand over my heart. I could feel it racing. No, you're not. You're not ready yet. Okay. What about now? Am I dying now? 9. It was Tia Te who one day said to me, you cannot just fake the sadness. You have to feel it. She didn't want me close to her until I understood what that meant. Los dolores del alma build you. Without pain, what do we have? Without pain, you don't know lo que es bueno. Without pain, you don't grow. You hear me? I was 12, and I didn't know what that meant, and I didn't know how to feel more pain. So I locked myself in the bathroom out of shame because I couldn't join my tias in their sad club because I was failing at the most basic thing in life. And it was there and then that I picked up the lipstick, that I braided my hair, that I reached for the burned cigarette butt and lit it. It was then and then that I felt the well opening inside me, the rush of water. I came out yelling at Mimi, finally, Mimi, finally, I'm sad, I'm sad, I'm sad. Give me the big Baporu. Thank you.